Let's have a moment of prayer and we'll ask the Lord to bless our workshop this afternoon. Father, we just thank you and we just ask that now in this next 45 minutes that you might excite us and motivate us for our homes. And Lord, help us to make a commitment to be accountable to you for the things that we have learned at this conference. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to Total Mess to Total Rest. If you are feeling like you are in total mess, we're going to give you total rest by the time you leave today. So that's kind of an encouragement. On behalf of More Hours in My Day, we had, from our publisher, sent as a gift to you the 1993 Daily Planner. Now, we know it's pretty well into the year, and so we were able to get them at a really good price, and so Bob had about 500 of them sent. And we are making them available to you absolutely free. It is a gift from us to you for the women who attend the workshops. Now, we had a workshop this morning, and there were almost 300 of you in the workshop, so whatever is left is what there is. So it's kind of just whoever got one. And then we held back about, I don't know how many, but we held back a few for tomorrow's workshop. So tomorrow in the morning, my workshop will be on prayer organization, how to organize your time, your quiet time, your appointment with God. And there'll be a few more in that room should you attend. I have one more up here. So I'm sorry that everyone didn't get one, but that was all that we had available. The 1994 Daily Planner, however, is available on our order form or at the table, and you can get organized for next year as well. Now, this is what we're going to do today. We are going to take you from total mess to total rest. We're going to commit ourselves to a five-week program. We're going to clean one room a week for the next 5 weeks. You say, I don't have time to do that. Okay, let me ask you this. Would you be willing to invest 15 minutes a day to the organization of your home? You say, sure, I'm willing to do that. Okay, this is what we're going to do. On Monday, we're going to set a timer for 15 minutes. We're going to go into room number one, and we're going to organize that room like mad for 15 minutes on Monday. When the timer goes off, go back and do whatever else you were doing. On Tuesday, you're going to go back into room number one, set your timer for another 15 minutes, and you're going to keep organizing in that room for 15 minutes. By the end of the week, do you know what you have done? You have invested 1 hour and 30 minutes in room number one. You should be able to do a total mess program in that room in an hour and 30 minutes. Now, there'll be a few exceptions, but basically you should be able to do that, and you will have Sundays off. So that's what we're going to be thinking as we go into our program. Okay, now, before we begin, we have to realize a couple of things. First of all, we have a profession. All of us have been given a profession. It is a God-given profession, and it's called homemaking. We need to be very proud of that profession. If it's our full-time job, it is a full-time job. Let's be proud of it. Many of you work outside of your home with part-time, full-time jobs, careers, whatever it may be. You are pulling two full-time professions. So naturally, we've got to be organized in order to be able to get the things done that we need to do. Organization will give you more hours in your day. It is guaranteed. The plan that we're going to talk about is guaranteed to work for you. But you have to be the one to work the plan. So we're going to take the plan in, then we're going to pray that God will work that plan in your life. Now, with any profession, we need the proper tools to work with. There isn't a profession that doesn't have the tools to work with. Our son-in-law happens to be a dentist, and he invested 9 years of education, went into dental school, graduated from dental school, opened his dental practice, and before one patient could come into his office, what did he need to perform his profession? He needed the proper tools to work with. It's not any different with us as homemakers. We need the proper tools. His profession is not any better than our profession. The difference is, as homemakers, we haven't realized the importance of those tools in our profession. Now, first of all, you're going to need some boxes. This is what we call a perfect box. You say, well, it looks just like a box to me. But this is not just an ordinary box. It is a perfect box. And I'm going to show you why it's perfect. First of all, the boxes come flat. Now, we didn't bring any with us. They are on the price list, the order form, and you can order them. But the boxes kind of come flat. They sort of look like this. But when you take that flat piece of cardboard and you fold it into a box, it becomes a box that has a lid that is attached to the box. So you always have a lid on your box. You don't have separate lids that fall off, that get stepped on, that get crushed, that the kids use as frisbees. You always have a lid on your box. See, I had separate lids, and they would get lost, or the kids would chew them up or whatever, and that caused stress in my life. So this is a stress-less box. Then it has handles on it so that we can pick it up as women, and we can move them. We can put them up on a shelf. We can put them against a wall. We can put them in a basement, an attic, a garage, wherever you want to put them. Then also, if they're filled with heavy books, we can pick them up physically because the size is just the right size. They are also uniform and orderly, so they look nice. Wherever you're going to store them, they're going to look really nice. So we need some boxes. Then you're going to need a little maintenance box, and this is what we're going to use to maintain your home. Then you're going to need some file folders. Your box can be used as a filing box if you don't have a filing cabinet at home, because your file folders will fit, again, perfectly into this box. So as you're going from total mess to total rest, you'll find piles of paper all over your house. What do you do with them? Well, now we've got to go through and we've got to make a few decisions. So we're going to take them. You've got insurance papers. You've got medical papers. You've got repair receipts. What about the children? They have preschool papers, Sunday school papers, first grade, second grade, third grade. They've got birthday cards. All those little things can go into those little file folders and into a file box. You can make a special box for just your children. Each of your children can have their own little perfect box with their file folders in it, and it can be kind of their little treasure box with all their little special treasures in it. Then we're going to need 3 trash baggies. And we're going to label our 3 trash baggies. The first one is going to be labeled throwaway. The second one is going to be labeled putaway. And the third one is going to be labeled giveaway. So we're going to take our 3 trash bags in our hand the first week of our 5-week program, and we're going to walk outside our front door. We're going to turn around, ring the doorbell, and we're going to step into our front door. And the first room we step into that first week is the first room we're going to clean. So right there as we step in is the entry hall. Right by the entry hall is what? The hall closet. So we're going to open up the hall closet. We're going to take everything out of the hall closet. Everything. Everything comes out of the hall closet. Billy's baby blanket, his crutches, shoes, his pacifier, and his teddy bear. Now, Billy doesn't use them out of the hall closet anymore. He's 23 years old. So everything comes out of the hall closet. Then we're going to clean it out. We're going to wipe it out. We're going to vacuum it out. We're going to hose it out. Do whatever you have to do. Get it all cleaned out. And now we're going to put back into the hall closet those things that actually belong in a hall closet. Coats, sweaters, binoculars, football blanket, racquetball racket, tennis racket, things that you know you will use out of that closet this next year. And if you haven't used it in the past year, it doesn't belong in the closet this year. So that's your little rule. Okay, now, so you're going to have some broken toys, magazines, junky little things. We're going to put them in a throwaway bag, and we're going to throw those out to the trash. And let me encourage you to use black trash baggies so that you cannot see in them, your husband cannot see in them, and your children cannot see in them. Then you're going to have some things as you go from room to room, closet to closet, drawer to drawer. You're going to find these things, and we all have them. And we all pull them out, and you're going to look at them, and you're going to say, oh, someday I'm going to use that. But do you? No. You just sort of rotate them. You sort of move them from one closet to one cupboard, one house to the next house, one state to the next state. You just sort of rotate these things in your life. Why don't we put them in a giveaway bag, and why don't we recycle them and give them away? There may be people in your church, your community, your neighborhood who can't afford them and would use them. Why don't we give them to someone that could use them? You say, well, I don't know if I want to do. Well, have a garage sale or a yard sale. With the money, you could take your husband out to dinner. You could buy something for the house. You could maybe buy a whole house. I don't know how much stuff you're going to have. So we're going to recycle all the things in our giveaway bag. Then you're going to have things that you don't want to throw away and you don't want to give away. There are things that are special to you, memorabilia, clothing that one child has grown out, another child may get into. Those special things are going to be put in a put-away bag, and we're going to show you in a moment what we're going to do with those things. So we've gone through every closet, every drawer, every room of our house. We've done a whole total mess program. Now, I would venture to say that probably many of you have done that before, haven't you? What happens in about 3 or 4 months? Right, it gets back in the same mess it was when we started. That's because we've not learned how to maintain our home. And this is where our little maintenance box comes in, and this is really important. You need a little recipe card file box that looks like this, and some 3x5 cards, and some little tabs that you can tab at the top of your card. Now, we're going to, if you're taking notes, we're going to label our cards. The first tab in our box is going to be labeled daily. And these are the things that we need to do daily in our home in order to maintain them. Now, this doesn't take you long. It's merely going to throw you now into a program. It seems very simplistic, but it's very important because what it does is it puts you into a plan. And now it's going to allow you to work that plan. So the first tab is marked daily. And on this daily card, we're going to write, what do I need to do daily in my home in order to maintain it? I need to see that the dishes are washed, the beds are made, the trash is emptied, and so forth. Great, that's no problem. We can do that every day. The next tab in your box is marked weekly. On Monday, what do I do in my home in order to maintain it? Well, I need to fold a few clothes and do a little wash. And maybe throw out the newspapers from the weekend. Great, I do that on Monday, I rotate my card. On Tuesday, I do a little ironing, I rotate my card. On Wednesday, I clean bathroom number one, I rotate my card. On Thursday, I do a little vacuuming. And you're going to have an interruption, and there's your friend on the phone. She says, you won't believe this, but they're having a big sale at the mall where we love to shop. Everything in every single store is on sale today only, 90% off. And she said, not only that, I heard if you put it on your charge card, you get another 10% off. So we're out to shop and shop and shop. So off we go, and we look at our card, and we think, well, we didn't vacuum. You think, well, that's okay. I'll vacuum when I come home this afternoon. But you know what happens? You're out late, you come back, and kids are coming home, and now you've got dinner and homework and baths and all of that stuff going on. And so now you've taken, you didn't do it on Thursday, so you think, well, I didn't vacuum on Thursday. I'm just going to take Thursday. I'm going to move it over to Friday's card. So now you're taking Thursday, move it over to Friday. You can't do everything on Friday because now you've got 2 days on once. You take Thursday, Friday, you figure, well, I'm not going to do it then. I'll just do it on Saturday. Saturday's my free day. I can do whatever I want to do on Saturday. So you think you're going to get caught up, and you wake up, and it's kind of one of those beautiful days, and your husband says to you, honey, you know what? Why don't you pack a lunch? Let's take the kids, and let's do something really special. Maybe we'll go feed the ducks, or we'll go bicycling, or we'll go do something fun. So you want to do that. So now you've taken Thursday, moved to Friday, Friday, moved to Saturday, still didn't get it done. So you think, well, Sunday after church, we'll come home, everybody will help, and we'll get all caught up. So you come home from church on Sunday, you're fixing lunch and brunch, and the ball game's on, and you're popping popcorn, and company's dropping in, and you've got all this stuff going on, so you certainly didn't do it on Sunday, and you got to get ready to get back to church again. So now you take them Thursday, move to Friday, Friday move to Saturday, Saturday move to Sunday, still didn't get it done. So you think, well, that's okay, I'm just going to pop it all over on Monday morning. Now, you wake up Monday morning, and you see all the things that you didn't do from Thursday, Friday, Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday, Monday. Now, see, most programs will tell you to do that. They say, make a list, and what doesn't get done one day, you move it over to the next, and so on and so forth. But what they don't tell you is that by the end of the week, you have this big, long list, you're frustrated, you're overwhelmed, and you say, forget the whole program. Now, see, we're not going to do that because we already know that that doesn't work. And this is what we're going to do, so listen carefully because this is the secret to the whole program. Should you not vacuum, for instance, on Thursday, you will rotate your card as if you vacuumed. And you do not vacuum again until you see a card pop up that says vacuum on it. Now let me tell you something. Do you get excited when you see that card? Because you've probably been crunching along on crackers and Doritos all week. So now what are you doing? Now you're disciplining yourself to your home. You're now in control of that home, and that home is not going to control you. And you can be flexible with this. If you get ill, if you go on vacation, if you drop the ball of organization, if you have a baby for one reason or another, all you need to do is pick up your cards. And within the period of 7 days, you will be back in the maintenance program of your home. Why? Because now you have a plan. The next tab in your box is marked monthly. The first week of the month, what do I need to do in order to maintain my home? It says clean the refrigerator. Did you go into stress? Okay. Remember, I said this in the last session. The refrigerator is a simple task. The refrigerator you're looking at as a whole project. But you don't look at it that way because we don't have enough time to look at it that way. So what we're going to do, on Monday we clean the top drawer, Tuesday we clean the second drawer, Wednesday we clean the left drawer, Thursday we clean the right drawer, and Friday we clean the outside of the refrigerator. So by the end of the week, the refrigerator can be cleaned, and it's only taking you 2 to 3 minutes a day. One woman came to me and she said, I just hate mopping my kitchen floor. I said, well, time yourself next time. She called up. She was so excited. She said, it only takes me 2 minutes to mop my kitchen floor. She said, now when I think of the kitchen floor, I think in 2 minutes it's going to be over with. So you see, you begin to look at it as little pieces of time instead of those whole projects. The next tab in your box is marked quarterly. It was 3 months ago we went from total mess to total rest. Now we've got to go back and we've got to reorganize the linen closet, the undie drawer, the jammy drawer, the sweater drawer. So you'll never have to do total mess again, because we're going to begin to maintain on a systematic basis. The next tab in your box is marked biannually. Twice a year, what do I do in my home in order to maintain it? I clean the mini blinds, I polish the silver, I change the air and heat filters, and I turn my mattresses. You see, you're going to do things you've never done before, because now you have a plan in which to do it. The next tab in your box is marked annual. What are those big annual projects? It may be rearranging the furniture, shampooing the carpeting, cleaning the garage, washing the walls, pruning the trees. You can put whatever you want on your cards. The last tab in your little box is going to be marked storage. And on this card, we're going to catalog all the things that we're going to store away. Remember our bags? We had the giveaway we gave away, the throwaway we threw away. Now we're going to take all the things from our put-away bags, and we are now going to delegate them into our boxes that we have numbered. So we're going to take our boxes, and we're going to number them. Box number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so forth. For every box that we have numbered, we're going to make out a little 3x5 card. And on this card, it says box number 1. On the box, it says box number 1. Everything that we store into box number 1 is going to be cataloged on card number 1. So all you have on the front of your box is a number. You don't have little words written on, crossed off, 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 all the way around your box. You just have a number on your box. Now, as we're going from total mass to total rest, we're going to find photographs all over the house. Do what I did. When you're in total mass, you do not have time to sit down and put albums together. So I took all the photographs and I threw them in a box. And I cataloged them on my card, and I put them in my little file box. And it was years later, when our children got into college, that I did a summer project. And I pulled down those boxes with all the photographs, and I got photo albums. And I did a summer project of a This Is Your Life album for every one of the children, from the time they were babies until the time they got into college. And I wrapped it up, and I gave it to them for Christmas that year. Chuck, full of childhood memories. Now, how was I able to do that? Because I had them in a box. And at some point, I knew I would be able to retrieve those boxes. You have arts and crafts. You have fabrics. You have your photos. You have high school albums. You've got costumes. If you're a school teacher, you have Valentine's Day, you have President's Day, you have Turkey Day. All of these different things can be delegated into your boxes and cataloged on your little cards. So all you have to do when you want to retrieve something is go to your little box, file through your little cards, and you will be able to find whatever you need in every single box without pulling a box down, flipping up a lid, trying to find out if you got inside what you wrote on the outside. Everything is going to be cataloged nicely so that you are going to be able to know what are stored in your boxes. I can stand right here in Oklahoma, and I can tell you what is in every one of my boxes in the garage in Riverside, California. Because all I have to do is file through my little cards, and I can tell you what's in every single box. I don't even have to be in the same state. You see how wonderful that is going to be? Now, our daughter came over to the house one day, and she brought her girlfriend Lynn, and she said, "Mom, Lynn and I are doing a project, and we're making these padded album covers." She said, "I know you've got some fabrics out there in the garage." She said, "Would it be okay if we went out and we took some of those fabrics?" I said, "I'm glad to get rid of some of that." So I went right over to my little box, and I looked through my little cards, and I said, "Jenny, they're out in box number 8. So Lynn and Jenny went out to the garage, pulled down box number 8, flipped up the lid, took out the fabric, what they wanted, closed the lid. Jenny put it back up on the shelf, and about that time, her girlfriend looked at her, and she said, "Jenny, I don't believe what I just saw." She said, "Do you know what would have happened if I would have asked my mother for something? She wouldn't have gone to one box and found it. She would have looked in every drawer, under every bed, every bag, looking all over the place for what I'm looking for." And she said, "She probably would have found it long after I didn't even care or need it anymore." So you see how fast we're going to be able to retrieve those things. You are going to be so excited that you're going to be able to find these things. You're going to stand right in the middle of the kitchen holding your little box, just praying that your husband asks you for something. And then you're going to say, "Honey, it's in box number 10. And he's going to go over and he's going to flip up that lid and he's going to find exactly what he's looking for. And then he's going to stand and call you blessed. Do you realize that we spend on an average of 2 years out of our lifetime looking for things? Do you know that that is a major amount of time in a lifetime? Look what we can do for the Lord with those 2 years in a lifetime. I mean, we can go on a mission field. We can take all kinds of studies and classes. You can take a cooking class, aerobic class. You can do so many things. Things right now that you're thinking, "I would love to be able to have the time to do." Look at the time you can spend with your family and your children and all of those things if we don't have to look for things, that we're going to be able to go right over to our little boxes. Now, I'm going to give you another great idea with your boxes. We number our boxes, but we have what we call a 15 series. So regardless of how many boxes we have boxes that we have numbered 15. And for all of our income tax things, we store away in boxes that are numbered 15. 15A, 15B, 15C, 15D, and so forth, for the 15th of April. So any receipts or anything that we need for income tax purposes go into our series of 15. Now you need to keep all of your receipts and everything, especially if you're in any kind of business, you need to keep them for 6 years. We keep ours 7 years, just to be sure that we have them. If you are ever audited, you can imagine what you have to look for and what you have to try to find to prove whatever you need to prove. My Bob goes right over, he pulls down, he looks through the cards, and he says, "Okay, what year do we need?" And if it's like 1990, he goes right to the 15 numbers, and he sees what boxes, A, B, or C of 15 that has 1990 in it, pulls it down. We've got everything right in there that we need. That quickly, you're going to be able to retrieve those things. Now, we do a fun, wonderful holiday organizational seminar. We do them in the fall. There's also a video on it. And if you ever get to Southern California in October or November, you need to come to one of those seminars. We do them out of state, but we don't have anything really close to you at this year. But anyway, in that seminar, We do, we talk about organizing for Thanksgiving and Christmas, gift giving, gift wrapping, building memories, Christ-centered traditions. We do a festival of lights. We do the story of Hanukkah, and I have a menorah, and I light all the candles, and it's just a really neat time, and then I tie that into the birthday of our King. And so I talk about storing away all your Christmas things. So we do another series, and our other series of boxes, we number 25 for the 25th day of December. So we have 25A, 25B, 25C, 25D, and in our 25 boxes, we put all of our lights for the outside of the house, the lights for the Christmas trees, the ornaments, decorations, garlands, and those type of things like that. Now, you're going to have big wreaths. They're not going to fit into a perfect box, but this is what we do. We take our wreaths and we put them in a big trash baggie. Then we take a 3x5 card, twist it up at the top, and then we take a 3x5 card and we staple it right to the top of the bag, or the bottom of the bag, whichever, and we number this as if it were a box. So it might be 25G or whatever. And then we list in our little card here what kind of wreaths we have in this bag. Sometimes I have quite a few wreaths, so sometimes I don't use all my wreaths every year. But I can pick and choose which ones I want because I know that I can go to my little box and I can know exactly what is in that black trash baggie that I can't see in, and I don't have to take it down and I don't have to look through it because I know exactly what wreath is in it. Now, do you see how that is going to save you time? So we're going to save ourselves time by being organized in that way. Now, let me just share with you, I shared it in the other class, but this is an organizational notebook. This is a homemaker's guide. It's a homemaker's notebook. It has charts in here that organize every area of real need in your home, from a work planner chart for your children, to marketing list, to menu planning, to daily calendar, to monthly household expenditures, entertainment. You may want to take a look at this. It also has envelopes in the back. Once you fill your envelope with your receipts, you take your envelopes and you put them in a file folder and you mark it 1993. When you need to find those receipts, then all you have to do is go to your 1993 file folder. You have 12 envelopes here. So all you have to do is look for the month that you're looking for, and 1, 2, 3, you're going to be able to find those receipts that you need. So we're helping you so that you don't have to spend 2 years out of your lifetime plus looking for things. Okay, now we've organized our home, but we haven't cleaned our house. Now this is where you want to get out your little speed cleaning sheet here, because we're going to show you how to speed clean your house. Now, I was so organized. I mean, I knew it all. I had my little caddy, and I would pick up my little plastic caddy, and I would had all my little tools and my sprays and everything in it, and I would take it into the room, and I would set my caddy down. I would pull out my spray, and I would clean and spray and clean and spray and wipe and clean and spray and do all that. Then I'd pick up my caddy, and I'd go into another room, and I'd set my caddy down, and then I'd... Well, where did I leave my spray? Well, it's not in the caddy. So now I've got to go back over to the other room, and I've got to try to find out where my spray is, where did I set it down. I'm looking all over for it. And I realized that all of that wastes time. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if somehow I could actually wear my tools that I needed on me? And that's when I designed my speed cleaning apron. Now, this is the speed cleaning apron. It is made purposely for everything that you're going to see. First of all, it has a bib on it, so that if I'm all dressed up and I'm running a little bit early, I can throw on my apron and I can speed clean for a few minutes because I'm going to have everything that I need on me. So you've got a little bib here to protect you. Then, let me put this down so all of you can see this. Then, on this back pocket here, I have my rubber gloves. I have my all-purpose spray on this hip. This is for like Mr. Clean, Amway, Shackley, whatever you happen to use. Any kind of all-purpose cleaner goes on this hip. Then over here on this hip, I have my whisk broom. This is going to whisk out all the little crumbs from around the carpeting that the vacuum doesn't get to, all the crumbs around your overstuffed chairs and your sofas and all of those things. You're going to whisk all of that right onto the floor because eventually you will vacuum it up. Then you have your other bottle is going to be your window cleaner. Now, I have found that the very best window cleaner you have in your home, probably right now, and you're not using it as a window cleaner, and it is just plain rubbing alcohol. You can dilute it, put it in a spray bottle, dilute it with water 50-50, or use it straight if you want to. If you're going to use it straight, just don't lock yourself in the room because, you know, you'll kind of get dizzy. So you can dilute it if you want to. Then I would suggest that you get some of these old-fashioned baby diapers. You can buy them through Sears or Penny's catalogs or those type of places like that. I'm sure Walmart has them. They are wonderful because they're very, very absorbent. So you've got your spray alcohol in one hand, and you're going to spray with one hand, and you're going to wipe with your other hand. And as you wipe, the alcohol evaporates so it doesn't leave the films and the streaks on your windows. You can use it on your mirrors, your glass tabletops, chrome, any of those kind of things that you want to use it. Plus, at the same time, it's going to disinfect it as well. So you've got two things going at once. Then you have a little pocket here in the front for your little scraper. And this is going to be used to scrape off all the dry, dead Cheerios and peanut butter on the floor and those kind of things like that. Then your toothbrush or a little brush where you can get around all the little crevices and the corners of your faucets and the corners of your kitchen and down underneath on the floor in those little corners where all that stuff kind of accumulates. You can use your little brush for that. Then your other wonderful tool is a pumice stone. And this is what a pumice stone looks like. Many times if you have a professional cleaning service come into your home, this is what they will bring with them. Now, the pumice stone is what you clean the calcium deposits and the rust from around your porcelain toilet bowls. It cleans it just like that. It is absolutely wonderful. Now, the secret to using your pumice stone is that you want to use the water in the bowl while you are using your pumice stone because you'll feel it. It's pretty abrasive. But as you slosh that around your bowl, your bowl will be beautiful and clean, and you can maintain it 1, 2, 3 so easily with your pumice stone. You can take it also into the bathtub or your shower with you and take the calluses off the bottom of your feet. So it's all purpose. You will love it. Now, our other tool is going to be a very important tool, and it's our feather duster. Now, you want to be using the proper feather duster. This is a chicken feather duster. They're very inexpensive. They have shiny, silky feathers. They will do nothing but throw dust all around your house and feathers, too. So you don't want to even, regardless of what they cost, don't even invest anything in this kind of a feather duster. What you want is a real ostrich feather duster. The ostrich feathers have little fingers that come from these feathers. And they are like little magical vacuums that grab the dust into the feathers. But you want to use your feather duster properly. If I were to come and say, okay, show me how you use your feather duster, most of you would be coming up and you'd just be going like this and swinging it all over. That's not the way you use your feather duster. You want to use smooth but fast strokes. Okay, now let's say we're going to go into a room. The rule is, you go into a room and you're going to start at the top and you're going to work down and you're going to work around your room. The ceiling is not as dirty as the floor. So let's say we go into a room and we have mini blinds. Okay, we're going to start at the top. We've got a nice handle on it so we can reach it. We're going to start at the top and we're going to go in smooth but fast strokes all across those mini blinds, all the way down. And it loosens up the dirt, and the dust actually goes into the feathers. Then we're going to take it outside, and we're going to shake it like mad, and you'll actually see the dust coming out of the feathers. Then we'll bring it back into the house, and we're going to finish up our job. We can finish up the mending blinds. We can go around all the door frames, all the picture frames, all of our bookshelves, all of the books, all of our silk plants, our silk flowers, all of our pretty, pretty things that we have, our dishes, our china. You see, the feathers are soft, so they're not going to disrupt or move around all your pretty little nicky-nacky things. At the same time, it's going to pick up that dust, and that dust is going to go right into the feathers. Take it outside and shake it again and come back in and keep your dusting. See, people that have allergies to dust, this is really great because this picks up the dust. It doesn't move the dust. The other thing about your feather duster is that you can wash it. You can wash it in sudsy water in the kitchen sink and rinse it in clear water, let it dry. You have a beautiful feather duster that will last you for years and years and years and years. Also, don't use end dust, spray wax, or anything on your feather duster because it is not necessary at all. What I do is I spray wax my furniture. I thought that was the cutest thing Mamie said about the dust on the furniture, it protects it. Oh, I thought that was great. We got to get it off once in a while, though. So I take the spray wax, and I wax my furniture about once every 4, 5, 6 weeks. And then I maintain with the feather duster. And so the maintenance becomes very simple and very easy. Now, look what we've done. We've got everything right here on us. We've got all the tools that we need. We've got our feather duster when we need it. Our hands are free so that we can work. And yet we still have all of our tools that are right on us. Now, when we're finished, all you want to do is to undo your apron. You can leave the tools in your apron. You just fold over the sides of your apron and then put it up on a shelf because you're going to have everything there. Put your feather duster on top so that you can grab it on those quick little emergency times when you need to. You see somebody coming to the door, you just tell them to wait a few minutes, grab your feather duster and start dusting, and then you can open up the door. And you have it all nice and neat. So what have we done? You see, we've gone from total mess to total rest. We've shown you how to totally organize your home and how to clean your home. Now, women, we've given you a plan, but it's up to you to work the plan. But when you work the plan will work for you. Remembering this, that it only takes 15 minutes a day, and you can be on your way to having more hours in your day. God bless you. Thank you.